Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus this evening, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. We'll read and then we will pray. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, it reads, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we bless you and praise you for the reminder that we can have our names written down in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I pray, O God, if there are some in our midst this evening that have yet to have that assurance, that they would settle that issue once and for all. And, O God, we pray as blood-bought children of God that you would teach us from your word this evening, cause us to walk in obedience to your word, that we might enjoy your blessings upon our lives and upon our service. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Here in Exodus chapter 12, from verses 1 to 20, God told the Hebrews that they were what they were to do in order to prepare to leave Egypt. He told them to choose a lamb. That lamb was to be slain. The blood applied to the doorposts of their front door and the lintels. They were to roast the lamb, not eat it raw or soak it in water. And they were to eat this lamb roasted at a particular time with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. And they were to be dressed, ready to leave Egypt. So God told the Hebrews exactly what he wanted them to do in preparation to leave Egypt. Now we move into verse number 21. Now they are told to do what they've been told to do. So it was like God gave the instructions, and now we note here in verse 21 that Moses calls for the elders of Israel. Now is where the rubber meets the road. And that's the title of my sermon this evening, Where the Rubber Meets the Road. How often are we guilty of knowing what to do, but not doing it? Doing what we know we should do involves a measure of faith. Faith in the fact that God will bless obedience to his word. So God not only spelled out to Moses and Aaron, this is what you are to lead the people of God to do in preparation for leaving Egypt. And now Moses calls for the leadership and he instructs them as to exactly what they are to do, and he calls for obedience. God always blesses obedience. Note there in James chapter 1, please, the book of James, Hebrews, in the Old Testament, James chapter 1. Note there in verses 22 to 25, James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, the Bible reads, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But," note verse 25, "but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," God's word, "and continueth therein," obedience, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So God calls us to obey what we know. So here we find from verse 21 onwards that God is calling for obedience. Now I'd like for us to note within this chapter this evening a number of principles that were evident, of which were used via Moses to ignite, for a better word, obedience. Obedience. Let's note how Moses ignited obedience to God and led God's people in beyond just knowing what to do, but doing what they know. What can ignite you and I to obey God? Obedience involves obeying God immediately, obeying God completely, and of course, obeying God joyfully, joyfully. The first point I want to stress this evening is the principle of accountability. Accountability. Note there, as we read there in verse 21, that Moses calls for a meeting of all the elders and leaders. These are the ones that have the influence. These are the ones that need to lead by example. These are the ones that can make things happen. This mandate to obey God needed to come from the top down. Accountability is good. Accountability is good for us. People don't like to be held accountable. That's the reality of our day. People want to be, they want to do as they please, but accountability, not interested. Being held accountable for what they say and what they do, people do not like that. And yet the Bible gives us the principle of accountability. Accountability is good. It can move us to act as we should. We will all be held accountable for what we know and what we do with what we know. We read there in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, where God said to Ezekiel, "You are my watchman. You are my watchman. If you will warn a pending judgment and the people do not listen, the blood rests upon them. But if you note pending judgment and you fail to warn, I will require their blood upon your hands." Accountability. Our Lord said, "Much is given, much is required." In Romans 14:10, the Bible teaches us that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, God is looking for faithfulness. God is looking for faithfulness. God is looking for obedience. And God will use the principle of accountability to cause you and I to move beyond knowing what we should do to doing what we should do. Accountability can be a strong motivational factor that will cause us to obey God. And it's by no coincidence that Moses calls for the elders of Israel and said unto them. See, Moses called for the leadership. God instilled the principle of accountability. God will one day hold us accountable. And may I assure you and remind you, it will be thorough. Note there in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, gives us that fact. Note there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, the principle of accountability. The principle of accountability should motivate you and I to obey the word of God. The fact is that one day you and I will stand before God and give an account of our lives before him. We will undergo a spiritual audit. Have you ever been audited? Well, one day, God's going to audit you. God's going to audit me. And that should be a motivational point to make sure that in every way possible, that which I know, I'm doing. So it's one thing to know, it's another thing to obey. The principle of accountability. And it's no coincidence that Moses calls for the elders of Israel and holds them accountable for what God has instructed for them to pass on to the people. And then we read on in verse number 22, please, if you go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. Note God's expectations, the details, the further details given here in verse 22. So verse 21 ends with, take you a lamb according to your families that will feed your family, kill the Passover, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel, the top beam of the door frame, and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. See, God calls for specific and full obedience, as opposed to partial obedience. Note the additional details that are given here in verse 22 that were not given initially. Choose a lamb large enough to feed all the members in your home. That was already given, but emphasized once again. Then you will take hyssop. The first time the word hyssop is mentioned in the Bible. Hyssop is a bushy plant that grows on rocky surfaces or between rocky surfaces. And if you ever get the privilege to go to Israel and to observe the ruins of the wall that surrounded Jerusalem, you'll note this bushy, weedy type thing growing out of between the stones. Hyssop. A bushy plant. Make it into a bunch. Dip it into blood. Dip it into the blood of the lamb and then apply it to the doorposts and to the lintels. And then also note then verse 22. Note the emphasis on not leaving the house until the morning. The usage of hyssop, not leaving the house. You must stay inside the house for a specified time. A critical detail that must be obeyed. See, my Bible teaches to obey is better than sacrifice. God is detail. God is interested in detail. God wills for us to obey him in every detail. God even told his people, you are to apply the blood and you will use hyssop. Not anything else, you'll use hyssop. And you will apply the blood, not anywhere, but on the doorpost and on the lintel as well. And you will not leave the home. You will stay within your home for a period of time. See, God is interested in obedience, complete obedience. God holds us accountable. God sees all. And may I submit to you that God judges all. How often we are guilty of obeying God to a measure, but not fully. Oh yes, we might be in church, like some of you are here this evening, but your mind is a million miles away. God takes note. God takes note. If the truth be known, we are often in church in body, but we are not in church in spirit. And we think we can get away with that? We think God's not interested in that? You think God's going to turn a blind eye to that? I don't think so. Because he mentions the hyssop, and he tells them you ought to stay in the house. See, God's into details. See? And how often the Lord Jesus made reference to the condition of the heart, did he not? And we read then the book of Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How often are we guilty of obeying God to a measure, but not fully? When it comes to the issue of church attendance, when it comes to the issue of a permanent relationship. Oh yes, I know I shouldn't live with a person of the opposite gender. That's fornication. Yes, but the Bible also teaches you only marry a Christian, a committed Christian. Don't forget that detail, young people. Don't forget that detail. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Oh yes, we know we should work hard, but we should also be honest workers, should we not? We know we should give to God of our tithes and offerings, but are we really giving God our tithe and the offering that God has led us to give? See, God will attend to the details. God will hold us accountable. And that should motivate us to obey God. And that's why we see within our passage of Scripture extra detail given. And then we move on in verse number 23, please. And the Lord will pass, back in Exodus chapter 12, verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. So we see within this verse once again the assurance of what God will do if his people simply obey. God gave the promise that when it is time, when that death angel moves over the land of Egypt, that no harm will come to those who are within homes that have the blood applied to the doorposts and to the lintels. Knowing that God has spoken is an assurance and should motivate us to obey God fully. To know that God has spelled out within his word promises, promises that flow out of obedience, should be a means of motivating us to obey God. For example, note there in Psalm 126, please. Psalm 126. In verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Note the promise, shall doubtless come. Again, that's a promise. That should encourage us to obey God and seek to be a witness. Beloved, we have a wonderful door of opportunity before us as Christmas approaches to share the fact that there is a Savior for the world. There is hope for mankind. His name is Jesus Christ, and he offers forgiveness for all. And he that goeth forth weeping with compassion, bearing the seed, planting the seed of the gospel, shall doubtless come again. That sounds guaranteed to me. With rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, his harvest, with him. See, the assurance that God will do if we will obey should be a means of motivating us to obey God, because we have the promise. And often we pray before we go out soul winning, oh Lord, we pray that your word will not return void. We claim that promise. And that is a means of encouragement, isn't it? That should motivate us. I like to pray that prayer. I like to pray on the basis of the promise that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which God wills. And we see that the assurance is given here in verse 23 that God will keep his promise. And if you will do what God has said and stay within the home, and you've got that blood applied to the doorpost, not to the door, not to the floor, not to the roof, not to the exterior of that one window. No, the blood needs to be on the lintel. The blood needs to be on the doorpost, not the door, not the floor, not inside, not on the walls, not on the roof. I will protect you. So God gives them that assurance, that promise. God's peace will overshadow your steps of obedience, when we know that we can rest in what God has promised. His promises are extensive. In 2 Peter, it talks about great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. Now, when we go back to Exodus chapter 12, note what takes place from verses 24 to 27. Remember, Moses has called for the leadership of Israel, and he's instructing them to instruct others. This is what we need to do. Note here in verse 24, and you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That ye shall say, verse 27, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head. The people bowed the head and worshipped. In God giving this ordinance, God said that I want you to not only observe this Passover on a yearly basis, but in doing so, I want you to pass on the meaning of this Passover. And when your children ask the question, what does this mean? Why are we celebrating Passover? That you are to pass on the reason for the Passover meal. I want you to teach it to your children, the following generations, that they would know and perpetuate this memorial feast. about how God delivered his people out of bondage. So we see here from verses 24 to 27 another principle that should motivate us to obey God. And the principle of legacy, the principle that, hey, our Christianity, if we are not careful, will end with us. You might well be the break in the chain. Unless you and I determine that I'm going to obey God and I'm going to pass on what I know to the next generation. But what is taking place here is an historic event. What you do about it will determine whether this is passed on to the following generations. And I see within this passage of Scripture that the mandate is given to not only remember this occasion via this Passover meal, but to make sure that the family members to come, the children, the grandchildren, understand this is why we are doing what we are doing. We see here the importance of this ordinance is stressed, and the value of passing on the heritage as a memorial to the next generation. Beloved, our faith in Christ is to be shared with others, and it's our responsibility to pass on our faith to the upcoming generations. Don't be guilty of breaking the chain. Don't be guilty of breaking the chain by your disobedience. It's your disobedience to the Word of God that'll break the chain. And God said to his people via Moses that this is an ordinance that you are to keep yearly. And it's been well said that it's within these seven Jewish festivals that the Jewish people celebrate year in, year out, around the world, that binds the nation of Israel together and maintains their identity and gives them the assurance that we have an origin, we have a destiny, and Jehovah is our God and our Lord. The importance of passing on. What will be your spiritual legacy when you die? What will you leave behind? I'm not referring to whether you leave behind a car or a couple of dollars in the bank, a wardrobe of clothing. But what will you and I leave behind spiritually? Well, that's all determined by our obedience in the present. Account to be passed on to the next generation. That principle that it's my responsibility to pass on what I know should be a motivational factor. But also note there at the end of verse 27, there was a reference to worship, was there not? And the people bowed their head and worshipped. Worship was connected. Worship is connected to obedience. I love what the Lord Jesus said to Satan there in Matthew chapter 4. Quickly, Matthew chapter 4. In verse number 10, Matthew 4:10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And note, and him only shalt thou serve. Serve. The connection there between worship and service. The connection here in Exodus chapter 12 with worship and obedience. Remember what Abraham said to his son? Where the son asked, Isaac asked his dad, we've got the fire, and we've got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Dad said, God will provide a sacrifice. And before father and son made their way up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice, Abraham said to his servants that you remain behind because we're going to worship. So we see that worship there within Genesis 22 was connected to sacrifice. And we see here in Matthew chapter 4 that worship is connected to service. And here in Exodus chapter 12, worship is connected to obedience. Obedience. To say that we worship without obedience is hypocrisy. We say we worship God, but there is no outflow of obedience. That is hypocrisy. For the Bible teaches us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are saved by grace to perform an outflow of faith, which is good works. We're not saved by good works. We are saved unto, to do good works. And we see the connection here in verse 27 between worship and obedience, passing on that legacy to the next generation. And then last but not least, note there in verse 28, please. Back in Genesis 12, 28. Note the response. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Moses and Aaron have done all that they could do. They could not do what each Hebrew had to do personally. They could instruct, they could encourage, but they couldn't do it for them. Everybody had to take personal responsibility for themselves. Everybody needed to make a deliberate choice to obey God specifically. And we see here in verse 28 that the children of Israel went away after being instructed in detail as to what to do and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. They all had to make that deliberate choice to obey God. For those of us that are Christians, for those of us that have received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we have the presence of God's Spirit. The power of sin is broken. We have the Word of God that teaches us how we should live. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. I wish I could make those choices for you. See, that's what cults do. They make choices for you. And they threaten you. Like the JWs, if you don't do so much door knocking, you jeopardize the potential of entering into that kingdom to come. That's what cults do. But that's not Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity is salvation by grace through faith. And we have the presence of God's Spirit. And the power of sin has been broken. So you and I can yield to the flesh or yield to the Spirit of God. It's up to you. It's your choice. It's time to act. I wish I could act for you, but I can't. I wish I could obey God for you, but I can't. You need to obey God. Really? I love you that much. I wish I could do it for you, but I can't. I can't do it. I've just got to take care of my own backyard. I've got to obey God. And you've got to obey God. And your level of obedience will determine how spiritual you'll become. Listen to me carefully. Each one of you here this evening, you are as spiritual as what you want to be. All of us. Stop blaming Pastor that he yells and screams too much. You are as spiritual as what you want to be. You have the same Bible that I have, do you not? You have the same Holy Spirit that indwells me. Oh, but Pastor, you've been to Bible college. Knowledge doesn't equal spirituality. Rest assured, read my lips. Don't you think for a moment excess knowledge equals spirituality. I have met some of the most carnal, immature Christians in the whole wide world that would boast of being a Christian. I've been a Christian for 50 years. You wouldn't know it. You are as spiritual as what you want to be. So stop blaming everybody else and note there are three fingers pointing back at you. It's your decision to grow. And you are as spiritual as what you want to be. See? And I'm thankful that after Moses had shared with the leadership that God's people turned around and they did what they were told to do. See, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. This relates to our salvation. This relates to our sanctification. We will all give an account of our lives to God. And this should motivate us to obey God. Obey God. Where the rubber meets the road, obedience. What will ignite obedience in your heart and my heart? Number one, the thought of accountability. That God's going to hold me accountable. The thought that God is going to address details. Details. The hyssop. The hyssop. Stay in the house. Details. Good and well to be in church, but are you really here in church this evening? Are you here out of obligation, or because you're bored, or you're lonely, or you don't want to be pestered? Or are you here because you love the Lord? Details. Another motivating factor is assurance. God's promises that if I will do my part, God will do his part. Because God is true to his word. God is true to his word. Another motivating factor that should cause us to obey God is the fact that, hey, I have a responsibility to pass on my faith to the next generation. I don't know about you, I don't want to be the break in the chain. Then what about worship? What's worship? What does worship entail? Does it just entail sitting in church? Singing hymns? Yes, singing God's praises. But what about obedience? How can we say we worship God but we don't obey him? That's hypocrisy. It doesn't make sense. And last but not least, you and I need to take personal responsibility to do what we know we should do. For the book of James once again teaches us, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is? Sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is?
Sin.
Sin. We know a whole lot more than what we do. And that's our problem. And that's why we're not blessed to the measure of how much God wants to bless us. I wish I could obey God for you. I like to think you would desire to obey God for me. But we can't. You need to take personal responsibility. I need to take personal responsibility. And you now are as spiritual as what you have chosen to be. So stop pointing the finger and blaming pastor for your lack of spirituality, or blaming your neighbor, or blaming your spouse, or blaming your children, or blaming your boss, blaming the weather. No, you and I are as spiritual as what we want to be. So let's choose from this day afresh, I'm going to grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. In our churches, we are not short of knowledge. I think you are taught the Bible in this place. But what are you doing with it? Knowledge does not equate to change. Knowledge on its own leads to what? Pride. It's obedience that leads to change. So I'd like to encourage you, obey God. Obey God. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. Let's pray.